Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass podcast. To learn more about Galcom and our guests today, visit galcom.org.
She was able to create a home and a safe place for that child to return back to, and she did receive custody back of her child, and she still has custody today.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. On today's Mission Compass, we want to update you on what Galcom is doing around the world and also connect with a ministry partner who, like Galcom, is making waves. Where do you fit in the Great Commission? Well, keep listening. We may have an answer for you. And here's your host, Galcom's Tim Whitehead.
Well, thank you, Ron. And hey, you've given me quite a list of things I got to cover. A Galcom report, a partner report, a chance for our friends listening to get involved in the Great Commission. So let me get right to it. Right now, we got two guys in Tanzania doing repairs and upgrades to some stations we built there several years ago. Don't worry, I'm going to give you the full report when Francis Njoroge, our engineer in Africa, gets back from that work. He's going to tell us all that God did there. Secondly, our partner report. Stan Jeter, Global News Alliance, is going to join us with a report on the Middle East. We've all been watching the news and seeing all the terrible things going on about the war, but God is also doing things there that we want to tell you about. So Stan's going to join us and also give us our monthly tip and trick about how we can be using our cell phones to tell God's story. But now, how do you get involved? And this is the real important one. Adele Diffie of Safe Homes joins us, friends. I desperately want you to hear about this incredible ministry, about getting involved in the Great Commission right in your home. Yes, your very home, to show the love of Christ. But before that, Bonnie Sale is going to start our day off with our Reset devotional. Bonnie, over to you.
Stop and think a minute. What was the first problem that mankind ever had? I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. It wasn't sin, it was solitude. The first problem in paradise was summed up by God in the first book of the Bible when he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." Today, loneliness is a growing health epidemic. We live in the most technologically connected age in the history of civilization, yet rates of loneliness have doubled since the 1980s. One of the world's leading physicians says, "During my years caring for patients, the most common pathology I saw was not heart disease or diabetes, it was loneliness." Want to stay well and thrive in this tumultuous world? Find a friend and be a friend. Here's why, explains the Bible book of Ecclesiastes. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Technology gives us a false sense of connection. Real friendship involves presence in each other's lives. A real friend, say the Proverbs, sticks closer than a brother. Are you a friend who shows up? Not with advice or gifts, but with open ears and arms. The gift of presence is the most important part of any friendship. Who in your life needs your presence? Like the poet of another century, may we say of our friendships, "Day by day and night by night we were together. All else has long been forgotten by me." I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To read, share, or hear this again, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
Well, thank you, Bonnie. Friends, I should tell you, Galcom belongs to the National Religious Broadcasters. We're a member there. And within that, there's a group of us that we call ourselves the International Committee. Bonnie's on that committee with Guidelines. And Stan Jeter of GNA News, longtime member of the International Committee. He joins us now to share what God is doing around the world. Stan, what have you got for us today?
Tim, thanks very much. You know, it's a great joy to work with you and Bonnie and others on that international committee. It's like a little family.
It is.
And with a focus on the world, you know, we want to see how can we use the media better to reach people in the world, both non-Christians, that's one kind of communication, and Christians, which sometimes requires another special kind of communication. And what we do with the Global News Alliance is a little bit of both, but I think mostly what we're trying to do is the same thing you're trying to do on this show, is to stir people up to get active, to get involved in the Great Commission. There should be nobody anywhere, no Christian anywhere, who is not engaged in some way, either going or praying or sending in some way with God's work around the world.
You're singing my song.
And we sing the song together when we're together at that committee and here on this program. So I have a story today that I want to share with you that takes us to the Middle East. Now, we all know and are greatly concerned about what's happening in the Middle East, and we pray for a good resolution, but it doesn't look terribly encouraging. However, we have some interesting side stories, things that the major news media do not pick up on. And here's one of those stories produced by Chuck Holton, friend of mine from CBN News. And the fighting between Israel and Hamas, you know, we don't know when it's going to stop. Hopefully it'll be over by the time this program airs, but I sincerely doubt it. But it's straining much of Israel's economy. And one way it's straining the economy is that they don't have enough people to bring in the harvests. You know, they've got harvests in the field, and all the men have gone off to war. Given the number of military reservists supporting the fight, local farms are short on manpower. So Chuck reports on a group of Christian cowboys from the U.S. who have ridden to the rescue. And so here's that story.
A lot of the dads and the men have been called up, reserves, and they go to fight in Gaza. And so that leaves this area. And yeah, there's no one to harvest. So it's a need that needs done. And yeah, we just wanted to help out with that.
That's where a group of American cowboys has stepped in, traveling to Israel on their own dime to help fill the gap.
Once I got the call, I dropped everything and headed right over. Here today, we're putting in a fence for keep the pigs out of the crops, and then doing some harvest and some weeding and stuff like that, just all kinds of stuff.
The farmers here are suffering big time. So because we've worked in this area for 20 years, obviously we're not going to leave our farmers. We've got 120 farmers in this region that we've helped. So obviously these guys are helping. So the cowboys were on their way to come help. And, you know, somebody caught them on the way in and took a picture, and it went totally viral. So now I don't think there's an Israeli in the country that doesn't know about the cowboys.
Yeah, there's stuff going on, but it's different when you're here than how it feels so scary when you're just reading the headlines, you know.
The men are here at the request of HaYovel, a group of American Christians who moved to Israel 20 years ago to support the Israeli people.
These cowboys have come all the way from the United States at their own expense to stand out here in a field in the hot sun and harvest zucchinis right on the Jordanian border in a field that is essentially surrounded by minefields on all sides. And that might not seem like the way that you'd want to spend your vacation, but for these guys, it's not so much about the work that they're doing here. It's more about the chance to encourage Israelis and let them know that they're being supported from around the world.
I believe this is the Jewish people. It's their God-given land. And we need to support them here. I mean, it's a small country, and we need to stand with Israel. I think it's an important thing to do.
Most of these cowboys plan to stay for at least a month, hoping to provide meaningful help to the Israeli people during this difficult time. From the Jordan Valley, I'm Chuck Holton for CBN News.
Incredible. Practical ways to serve, practical ways to show God's love. That's, hey, you said everyone should be involved. Maybe there's a farmer, cowboy out there listening. Get in touch with us. We'll figure out some way to connect you if you want to serve too.
Absolutely. I love these stories because it shows God at work in unusual ways and in unusual places. And it also brings a little bit of joy and hope to an otherwise bleak situation. That's what we want to do. We want to provide joy. We want to provide hope, inspiration, and focus.
Now, you mentioned this story came from Chuck Holton. He's a member of the GNA family, the CBN News, you said. We've been equipping people listening to do the same. Do you have a tip, a trick for us listening that says how we can participate in telling God's stories using our cell phone?
Well, I think I'd just like to back up to the importance of telling stories. And we can use our cell phones. We've been giving a series of tips, and we'll continue, hopefully. But there's always something to learn. But the stories themselves, I just want to emphasize, underline how important it is to tell stories, to share stories. You know, you can go to our news site, gna.news, and pick a story that really speaks to you or you think it might be important for somebody else, and you can share it. And that story may accomplish more than you can accomplish in a personal conversation. Stories are memorable. And I just want to emphasize that we didn't come up with the idea. In Matthew 13, Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables, stories. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So I guess that's my tip for today. Dive in and use stories, whether they come from us or anywhere else or from your own life. Tell the stories. People will often remember stories much longer than any teaching you may give them or any big points in a conversation. So that's my tip for the day. Use stories. Become a great storyteller and use stories.
Excellent. We'll be back with you again next month, Stan, for more great stories and more tips on how we can tell God's story to friends. GNA.news, if you want some of that joy and hope. Thank you so much, Stan.
Thank you, Tim.
You may be listening to us on your computer, but you can also find us on your smartphone using Spotify, iTunes, or other streaming platforms. Just go to galcom.org and choose your favorite. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast.
Well, friend, here on the Mission Compass, we're always encouraging you to get involved somewhere. And the last couple of weeks, I know it's been a little heavy. We've been talking about going to Ecuador. We've been talking about going to the Ukraine or to Eastern Europe. They're pretty heavy stuff. Going to South Sudan or Uganda. Most of us aren't going to be able to do that. And so about a month ago, my son came home from his school with a little piece of paper about a fundraiser for Safe Families Canada. And I just didn't know about them. I started looking them up and I thought, what an incredible idea to do the Great Commission in our Jerusalem. You know, Jesus says, you'll be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So we've been talking a lot about the ends of the earth. Let's talk about your home, Jerusalem. So to help us out to understand a great opportunity to serve, Adele Diffie, Executive Director of Safe Families Canada. Adele, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tim. I'm really excited to be here and to share with you a huge passion of my Safe Families.
So tell us, where did it come from and what do you do?
So Safe Families came from at the heart of a gentleman named Dave Anderson who lived in the States. He ran a foster care agency and a family came to him in need, but he couldn't help them because he was running a foster care agency. And he had said to the mom, we can't help you because your children need to be at risk of abuse. They need to be abused before they come into the foster care system. And the mom was very upset because she's like, well, I don't want my children to be in a situation like that. I want them to be safe, but I have some things I need to take care of. And I can't do these things when I have my kids with me. So eventually Dave and his wife kind of prayed about it and thought about the logistics for them and their family. And so they took the kids in themselves. They cared for them for a few weeks. The family was able to get what they needed in place and the children were able to be returned home. And there was no custody issues. There was no visitation issues. It was all just done because a family loved another family enough to help them out in a very difficult time. And Jen Francis, the founder of Safe Families Canada, heard about Safe Families for Children in the States when she was on a mission trip in South America. And so when she came home, the Lord was just really prompting her to start something in Canada. So she started doing some research about all the legalities and the child welfare system. She got a team together and they met and prayed and talked about these things. And they put a plan together to be incorporated in Canada. And so we were incorporated in 2012 and we launched our first chapter in 2014 in Toronto. And now we have 15 chapters across Canada. We have 9 in various stages of development across Canada as well. And we have over 800 volunteers, almost 150, I think probably more than 150 churches that are all serving alongside us. And we're able to build those communities of support for families in crisis.
This is great. You're both sides of the border. So, you know, all of our friends listening down stateside and so on, you can get involved. So really quick while we're talking, I see safefamiliescanada.com. What is the website address for our friends in the U.S. if they want to look into this themselves right away while we're talking?
Yep, safe-families.org. That will take you directly to their website.
All right, so safe-families.org for our friends listening in the U.S., Safe Families Canada for those listening up close to where I am here in Hamilton, Ontario. So this is great. Keeping kids out of the formal system, somebody to help. As you said it, you know, I call my parents. You know, my wife and I, we have something to do. I got to take my wife to the hospital. Something's going on. You call grandma and grandpa. Everything's fine. The kids are there for a weekend. You take care of stuff. But the point is, there's a lot of people in need. They don't have the family support. Is this really the heartbeat of safe families?
Yes, it is. And the biggest thing that everybody faces when they're facing a crisis is that you do or you don't have anyone to call for help. I know when I was growing up, my parents were in a crisis. They had their church. They had their immediate family. But for a few generations now, families are growing up without those extended family supports. They don't have their own family supporting them, and they don't have friends that can be trusted to help them raise their children. So there's a breakdown in our society, and it's isolating parents and families, making it so much more difficult to access resource, get the help that they need, and be able to put a plan together and meet some of those goals. And it's costing Canadians a lot of money, the foster care system. There's over 60,000 children in permanent foster care. Wow. There are over 300,000 children and youth that are at risk of or have experienced abuse or neglect. And so there's a huge number of families that don't have this kind of support. And so our job at Safe Families Canada is to try and build a community support in every community across Canada, to partner with churches to create those communities of support so that families do have someone to call for help. They do have someone to help them care for and raise for their children, access resources, and get their families stabilized.
I was going around your website the other day, just kind of getting prepared, and there's a great video called Clarissa's Story. I don't want to give it away, friends. You got to go watch it yourself. But do you have another story so we get a real idea of the circumstance that someone that contacted Safe Families and said, look, here's my situation, I need help, and what it did for them?
Yes, of course. There are so many stories that I could share with you, Tim. One in particular is one that happened during COVID recently. We all know what it's like to be isolated now, making it very challenging to reach out to people for help. And there was a mom who was already working through the foster care system. She had lost custody of her children for a variety of different reasons, and she was working very hard to create a home that was a safe place that her children could return to. And it was very difficult, especially during COVID, to advocate for herself and to plan meetings, but also to get access to her child. And so we were able to help her work through some of those conversations and meetings. We were able to provide her with some volunteers in the community that were connected to churches, to be a friend, to help encourage her and listen to her and help her out some projects that she needed to get done. We were able to help her with a few postings because sometimes things did get overwhelming. And she was able to have her child hosted by someone for a few hours in a day or on a weekend while she was working out some of those more challenging things. Eventually, you know, once everything started to lift from COVID and there were less restrictions, she really started making some of that progress. Then she was able to create a home and a safe place for that child to return back to. And she did receive custody back of her child, and she still has custody today. And so it's really exciting. We always say we want to prevent children from entering the foster care system if they don't have to. But here is a perfect story for people to hear about how we can help families create that safe place at home for children to return as well.
Some stats on your website, 35,000 hostings. You keep on using that term, hosting, since 2003. And 93% of those kids return back home. So, you know, like you say, you're not getting them institutionalized in the system. It's someone helping. Now, you mentioned someone helping out a couple hours in a day and then going home, and then you know, longer term. What's the average commitment for someone that says, yeah, I want to volunteer, I can help? Is it a week at a time? Is it a month? Is it just a couple hours a day off and on? Like, what are we committing to?
Yeah, sure. So there's various different volunteer roles that we have, and each one of them is a little different. So a family friend would visit for maybe like a half an hour or an hour a week, maybe every other week, through texting, phone calls, coffee times, home visits, dinners, you know, inviting our families over for dinner. That's kind of that time, how much time we would spend with our own friends. That's kind of in there as well. We also have resource friends that might run around to do some deliveries so they could kind of set their own hours and what they're available to help out with. We also have a family coach that oversees the circle of support and volunteers. And so they might be doing like an hour to an hour and a half a week, depending on the family that they're supporting. And then we have a host family, which is our very unique thing that we do at Safe Families Canada, is we have volunteers that open their homes to the children. And so they would welcome the children in the home for a couple of hours or a couple of nights, a couple of weeks, a couple of months, until the family is able to get stabilized. So there's definitely a longer term commitment there, but we always work with everyone's schedules to kind of make sure that everyone is able to work with the family that they've been matched with.
So really, we're just becoming an extended family, an extended help, really obeying, you know, we talk a little about the Great Commission here on Mission Compass, mm-hmm. but the Great Commandment, love your neighbor. We're just stepping mm-hmm. in that position of love to help them out mm-hmm. because they don't have that family structure.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. We want to be obedient to the calling that we have on our lives. We want to love our neighbors. There's an incredible book by Rosario Butterfield, and she says, we want to turn strangers into neighbors, into family. We want to make families that are in crisis that don't have a family, we want to be that family for them. And we can do that any way that we possibly can, no matter what our experiences are, or our skills. We don't have to have a family support degree. We just want to use what God has given us within our own lives, our own families, our own resources, our own churches, and transport that into another family. And it's so beautiful. It really, really is. And it does fulfill the Great Commission, because we know that when we bring our gifts and talents and we lay them before God, He is going to bless them and multiply them. And so there is an opportunity for families to come to know the Lord. And that's just a beautiful way of being faithful.
And this is great, but I used to work in kids ministry a lot. I used to work in children's camping. So you got to go get your police check, vulnerable sector check, plan to protect, insure, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So if someone's going, I can do this. I have some time. I can help a family out, maybe not the month long, but I can run errands. I can be there. If someone's interested, what do they have to do to be, let's say, qualified to help? Because this is an important part of safe, mm-hmm. the safe part of safe families.
Yes, of course. And so we do have a list of things that we need to check off our list. And the way to start that is, if you already are connected with the chapter, you want to reach out and make that connection and get the ball rolling. But if you're not, you want to go to our website, which is safefamiliescanada.com, and you want to look at the top right-hand corner where it says find a chapter. See if there's a chapter in your community and get connected there. The contact information is there. We do an interview process. We have an application that you have to fill out. That can be quite extensive depending on what role you're going to fill out. We require references from two or three people, again, depending on the role that you're filling out. We have a vulnerable sector check. We have, in certain provinces, they require a child welfare check. And so there's some of those things we have to check off our list. For our host families, we also do a home assessment. So that's part of the application process, but then we come and we visit your home and we go through everything. We take a tour of your home. We try to upgrade some things if we can, just to make it safer for some of the kids and help our volunteers to think through some of the situations they might encounter. So if we have toddlers, we want to make sure all the outlets mm-hmm. are covered, that, you know, that there's a lock on the door or the toilet, you know, things like that, to make sure that it's a safe place. And then we have some training that gets done. Each role has their own set of training that they do. And then there's some ongoing training that the chapters provide individually. So it is a pretty extensive process, but it is so well worth it. We need to make sure that everyone kind of goes through this process and that we're meeting those criteria to be able to invite families to be part of our volunteers' lives.
Friends, hey, it takes some commitment. If you're not going to go over to Africa, that takes work. So this should take a little bit of work too to serve God. For our friends in the U.S., safe-families.org. In Canada, safefamiliescanada.com. Again, enthralled with this idea, we have two families in our GALCOM staff, two families at Foster that are giving their lives, and we pray along with them. We're part of this as they're praying for the kids and meeting those needs. What a great way to keep kids connected to their biological uh-huh. families, come alongside in love and grace as uh-huh. the body of Christ. Adele, really love this. Friends, again, if you're not involved, they need 25,000 volunteers is what they have had so far to get these 35,000 visits to keep this going. I'm sure the more volunteers you have, the more kids' needs you can meet. So safefamiliescanada.com, safe-families.org. Adele, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, friend, we're at the end of our program today, and you've been listening to GALCOM's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. There are many ways to partner with us. To find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's GALCOM, spelled G-A-L-C-O-M, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we upload a new episode every Monday. You can also find us on the radio or other streaming platforms. We have a list on our website. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast. Please rate this episode and leave a review. We would love to hear back from you. And we also want to know where you're listening from. So click Mission Compass on our website, tell us, and we'll send you Galcom's devotional, 30 Days of Faith.